What's up, guys? If you click this video, well, the link, you just tuned in to the very first Speed Hall TV podcast. You know, we're bringing it to you from all different angles. I know you've seen our YouTube page. I know you've seen our Twitter. I know you've seen our Facebook. But now we bring you a podcast. You can plug us in, take us to work with you, you know, do whatever you please. But we're hitting you from all aspects of the sport and broadcasting world. Hey, but since you clicked this very first video, you deserve a round of applause. But yeah, Day-Day here, you know, usually guy that you see on the videos, I know TDL is doing a couple of videos now for the page, and you can catch his insights on some of those topics or whatever. But surprisingly, my first video comes after game four of the NBA Finals. Golden State hopped out, is now up in the series 3-1. The game ended up 108-97, which I've relatively seen as a rough tug it out, you know. It was a game that had so much, you know, contact in the midst of it. It was just ridiculous. Sorry if you got here, somebody cutting grass outside. But the game had so much contact in the midst of it. But it was understandable because all the contact was both ways. And I could see if it was one side or the other. But, you know, but I know LeBron took offense to it because he gets hit when the game is getting called a tight game. So I know it's a problem when, you know, It's a physical game. He still isn't getting called. That means he's getting absolutely murdered. And I know he had LeBron had that confrontation with Draymond Green also in the fourth quarter when Draymond flopped, basically, and then LeBron stepped over. Draymond hit him in the groin area. And then next thing you know, they go down in the paint, and LeBron said Draymond called him a bitch. So, sorry for my language, but that's what he called him. And he said where he's from, they don't take that word too nice, which is all understandable. But still, with the case of Draymond, this is like his, I don't know, fifth offense or whatever or something borderline. And they're going to see if the league office is going to do something about it. I don't believe they will because it seems like LeBron instigated the matter by stepping over Draymond. But they might be trying to put their foot down at this point. But also, you don't want to be the clutch to the series because you suspend Draymond and the Cavs come back and beat Golden State at home. And then you think you were expecting them to win game six at their house. And then you got a game seven, which that'll kind of be a backwards face because you're tying into the way who's going to win the series instead of just letting the people play. But understood, Draymond's got away with so much. Somebody has to actually discipline him. But if he can get through this long with all these games without getting a technical foul, without getting an extra technical foul or flagrant from getting kicked out, well, he needs two technical fouls to get kicked out, and he's lasted this long without even getting another one. So it was it's surprising that he hasn't gotten one already, considering how he's already been playing. But, yeah, 108-97 was the end game score. Which, there was some interesting stats about this game. Was the first one for me was they both teams took the exact same amount of shots, 81 shots for the Warriors and 81 shots for the Cavs. But in the midst, the Cavs shot better. The Warriors made 33 shots, but the Cavs made 38 shots. Shooting, well, that's the Warriors 40% to the Cavs 46%, well, 47%. But the clutch factor for the Warriors was they made 17 threes, the NBA Finals record, breaking the Spurs record from a couple of years ago. But they were 17 for 36 from the 3-point line. That's 47%. And the Cavs was 6 for 25, shooting 24%, which in the end made the game a big difference. And so them shooting them 17 threes, and I think 11 of them was between the Splash Brothers. I mean, on six threes contributed from people other than the Splash Brothers, which I thought was the initial reason for Tyronn Lue's defense was them shutting down the Splash Brothers. But toward the second half, that wasn't evident because the simple fact that they allowed the Splash Brothers to get what they wanted. They ran a 1-2 pick and roll. Steph starting at the middle, right down the middle of the glow of the basket, at the top, bringing Klay from the left side, coming with a screen. He hit the screen, and then he rolled off. He slipped off of it to the, like, faded away to a three-point line. Or he just never hit the screen, and when he just completely slipped it and then just spotted up. And then they got the Cavs, like, two or three times. And then when they thought Klay was going to get it, Steph gets it back, takes one dribbling, and then shoots it. So they mind they mind the calves with that 1-2 pick and rolls, which I thought that shouldn't be just too hard. You show for a little bit, then you leave. Because most of the time when you show the double team on Steph Curry, he's used to pass the ball or drive hard to the basket. Once he drives hard to the basket, you can be able to defend him more efficiently. That's the way I felt about it. And getting down to the free throws, the Cavs shot 57% from the free throw. They was 15 for 26. Considering they lost by 11, they lost by 11 and missed 11 free throws. So they're free. If you make those free throws, it's a closer game. Or it's a closer game or it's a tie game, whichever one you want to take from it, if they just make their free throws. Because I don't like counting the Warriors' free throws because I don't know how many of them they took in the later times of the game, you know, when it was the foul game or whatever. But the key to beating the Warriors for me is you have to out-rebound them and you have to manage your turnover. So when I think about when I think about both of those, the Warriors and the Cavs matched each other rebound, which was kind of like a two-faced sword. Because at first you see Tristan Thompson killing the offensive glass or whatever, but you look at the stats, the Warriors had 14 offensive rebounds and the Cavs had 16 offensive rebounds, but the Warriors had 29 defensive rebounds and 24 rebounds for the Cavs, which you can't match the Warriors with rebounding. If the Cavs are the bigger team, they should actually be out-rebounding the Warriors. I guess them going smaller then took away their rebound advantage, but that was the reason why you guys were winning in the first place. You got down to the end, you got complacent or whatever, and you couldn't actually do anything. It's not too many more stats you can get. Steals 7-5 going to the Warriors. Blocks was even at 6-6. But going down to the turnovers, like I said, the Warriors had 9 turnovers and the Cavs had 11. You can't turn the ball over more than the Warriors. And LeBron had 7 of those turnovers, so it's 5 turnovers from the rest of the people. So that's taking that upon LeBron James, but not too much away from him because he had an amazing game. Points in the paint, the Cavs absolutely killed it. They killed the Warriors 20-48, so they had 28 more points in the paint. They killed the guys inside, but couldn't buy an outside basket past the first half. The first half where they had most if not all their success. But I can get to you guys into the box score for these guys. Starting off with the let me just start off with the Cavs. Richard Jefferson, who they installed in the starting lineup, who had like 12 points or whatever. He ended up with what? He went 1-for-2. Yeah, the bad was 1-for-2 for 3 points and 6 rebounds and 0 assists, 0 steals, 0 blocks, and he turned the ball over twice. And I think he fouled out. Yeah, he fouled out. But he was -5 and plus minus, which absolutely means to me a lot because I care about plus minus. That shows me how effective a guy is. So, well, that's duh. They tell you how effective somebody is plus minus. LeBron James, he played 46 minutes, I guess 2 minutes shy of playing the whole game. He went 11 for 21, 1 for 5 from the 3-point line, 2 for 4 from the free throw line. I feel like he should have got to the free throw line more than twice, I guess, because it took 4 shots. So I expect that he missed both of those. But I expect him to get to the line more than twice. How physical the game was. But I guess with the calls being non-existent, and it was basically nothing he could actually do. He came out there with 9 rebounds. Correction. 13 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. And as I said, those 7 turnovers. But he was -12 with plus minus. He ended up with, 25 points. Tristan Thompson, 5-for-7. What he had? 7 rebounds and a block. So basically 10.7 rebounds. But he was killing in the very beginning of the game. He only played 29 minutes. I feel like he should have played at least the volume as the rest of the guys instead of him playing 29 minutes. I guess when they go small, they decide to take Tristan Thompson out and decide to go another route. I know they think that put in like Channing Frye. I feel like you should have just left Tristan Thompson in there because he gets you second chance. I know you look for threes, but what happened when you missed the threes like you were? You could have had Tristan Thompson down there gathering rebounds, giving you that energy that you actually needed. He actually defended players that, you know, he defended Klay, he defended Steph to a lesser degree. So you can actually you can be proud of that. I would have left the guy out there. Kyrie Irving 14 for 28, 34 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, a block, which he had on Steph Curry. He only turned the ball over one time, but he didn't pass it a lot. J.R. Smith 3 for 10, he had 10 points, in 2 for 8, but he didn't take a shot in the second half. So he had all 10 of those points. All 10 of those shots in the first half because he didn't attempt a shot in the second half. Considering that also by LeBron, he was 9 out of those 21 shots, he was 9 for 13 in the paint, which is an amazing percentage. But then you get to his jump shots outside of the restricted area, he's 2 for 8. He was 2 for 8 on jump shots. So basically you're living with him shooting a basket. I know he made 1-3 when they gave him like a lot of cushion, but he really wasn't prolific enough for them to go out there and stop him every time. But and then in the second half of the game, Kyrie and LeBron took 33 of the 38 shots in the second half. So that's 5 of the shots for the other guys. That is, if that's not a definition of hero ball, I don't know what is. And you know what? They're the rain cloud on the team when people start playing hero balls. Oh, you know what? Think about this. What this sound is. That thunder. Just like the Russell Westbrook and the Kevin Durant. The team play hero ball with the Warriors every time they get down, but when they win, they like to share the ball. So it's a recipe for success to beat them. It's just, you know, play team basketball, out-rebound them, and lessen the turnover. I know it's easier said than done, but that's what you got to do to beat a team like this that won 73 games this season. Getting down to the bench, it's not even too much you can call about the bench. Iman Shumpert getting there, he was 1 for 5. Had two points. He was missing all his shots. He only played 15 minutes. Devin Nova only played 5 minutes, so he didn't get the rest of anything relevant. Kevin Love played 25 minutes off the bench. He was 3 for 6. Coming up, he gave 5 rebounds, so basically had 11 points, 5 rebounds. He played better than most of the guys. He played better than Richard Jefferson with his plus minus and high, and you know, his play efficiency than Richard Jefferson did. But I guess you get the play fouls or whatever. But they inserted Kevin Love so early. Kevin Love and Richard Jefferson played the same amount of minutes, and Kevin Love outplayed Richard Jefferson. I don't expect Richard Jefferson to go out there and give me 11 points, but God dog, he'd give you 3 points with 2 turnovers, and Kevin Love didn't. He turned the ball over once. So I guess you take that how you is, Mr. Tyronn Lue. But getting up to the Warriors, Draymond Green, 42 minutes. He went 2 for 9, 0 for 4 from the three-point line. But he went to the free throw line. He was 5 for 8 from free throw, so I guess that's where he got most of his point. 9 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, 3 turnovers. Basically, Draymond Green, night, except I expected him to have more like 15 points, you know, 12 rebounds, more assists. But with LeBron on him, it took more of his game away, per se, than when they had him in game 2. When it was Kevin Love on him, he was able to pass the ball willy-nilly how he felt and get to the basket and, you know, get more points. And they'd give him that cushion and he'd be able to knock that jump shot. But that's only with, you know, Draymond. Harrison Barnes, 5 for 11, 14 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. He played pretty well, per se, but he actually played 40 minutes. He played more than Iguodala. I usually say that I don't know why they put Harrison Barnes in the game anyway. They're going to pull him out of the game in the first 3 minutes. But he hit 4 for 5 from the three-point line, which is pretty good. He did what he had to do, played his role on the team, so his team was able to succeed. Andrew Bogut, he only played 10 minutes, only gave them 1 rebound and 1 assist. He didn't take a shot. He had 0 plus minus, so it didn't matter if he was on the floor or not. He didn't hurt his team and didn't make him in the building. I'll take that. Steph Curry, you guys asked for him. You asked for the MVP, and you finally got him. He went 11 for 25 from the field, 38 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. And with 6 assists, he only had 3 turnovers, which he still needs to cut those down a tad. But, you know, 2-0 assist turnover ratio, some people take it. Now you know how I take it, too. But you asked for him. He knocked down a lot of shots that He didn't knock down a lot of carries. Most of his shots were wide open, which was surprising to me that they allowed them to get that wide open. And also the man that I'm finna call right now, Klay Thompson, 7 for 14 from the field, 4 for 9 from the 3-point line, 7 for 7 from the free throw line, 25 points, 4 rebounds, an assist, a steal, a block. he filled the stat sheet in every area, except offensive rebound, but he filled the stat sheet in every area. But they allowed Steph and Klay to get so many wide open jump shots in the second half. That's where they really took off it, which was amazing to me that they allowed the Splatterbird to go off. I thought their whole defense in games 1 and 2, which they lost, but their whole defense in 1 and 2 was not to allow the Splatterbird to get any wide open jump shots, make them run them off the 3-point line, make them work for their shots, or at least drive and kill them inside the paint. And if they drove and scored on you guys inside the paint, then that's what you live with. But now this game's 11 shooter. They miss, but they make. And they showed you why they're the best shooting backcourt in NBA history, because they made their shot. But getting down to the bench, David, the Warriors only played two guys, really. I know Varejao played 4 minutes, but he had more of, like, hustle points, draw a couple fouls and whatever. So those not going to show up on the stat sheet. But Andre Iguodala, 37 minutes. He was 4 for 12, 10 points. 6 rebounds, 7 assists, amazing game. He led the game at plus minus, plus 15 points when he was on the floor. So that's amazing, knowing that when he gets on the floor, that he's the biggest factor. I think LeBron James was, when Iggy is guarding LeBron, LeBron was 0 for 2 with 3 turnovers, which you could say is either LeBron killer, maybe so, per se, because I know last year he won Finals MVP primarily because his defense on LeBron, not usually the MVP goes to an offensive player, but now went to the defensive-minded player who stopped the other team's best player, which is understandable. Probably like Kawhi Leonard got there a couple years ago, too. Sean Livingston, 3 for 8, he came and knocked down a couple of his patented mid-range jump shot that I'm just amazed he gets to his spot every time. He had 8 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 rebounds and an assist. But that's it for the stats. But if you get where I'm coming from, it was more like the hero ball killed the Cavs. It's like when it came down to it, everybody, when the crowd started screaming, the crowd just screamed and whatnot, and next thing you know, Kyrie just hits in his head that, oh, man, it's time for me to shine. It's time for me to do what I have to do so my team can win. And everybody like, whoa, 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 whoa. And LeBron trying to take over also, and Kyrie trying to take over, and everybody else just standing around looking, not even setting screens. I know Jeff Van Gundy pointed out in the show that everybody, the offense became stagnant for those guys, knowing just pretty much that There was nothing for them to actually do. If Kyrie and LeBron taking most of the shots and they even want to play most isolation, LeBron would post up, like, around the block area. But then sometimes he get in his trip third position at the 3-point line. Basically, Kyrie can get to the rack when he wants to, but he's just getting to the rack. He's not getting to the rack with the thought of pass. He's not called for pick and rolls with the thought of pass. He's not passing the ball for another pass to score. LeBron was doing that in the first half, but he wasn't doing it in the second. But take that enough for LeBron. LeBron needs to be aggressive. Kyrie should be the one being a little more passive in a sense, because it's just how it should be. At the first, when they were passing the ball in the first half, it was all good. J.R. Smith was knocking down his shots. Kevin Love made a couple shots. You know, everybody was touching the basketball. Now you get to the second half, and everybody wants to win the game when the Warriors make their little run. That's not how you're going to beat these guys. You got to play team basketball. You have to rebound, and you must not turn the ball over. So, there goes the lawnmower again. I can't believe it. But That's just how the game was shaping out. So I feel like there was a clutch to their team that the guys came out there and played hero ball, and they missed 11 free throws and they lost by 11 points, which I always feel like is a big, you know, clutch on it that you miss free throws and they win. But everybody asked for Steph Curry, and he ended up coming out yesterday. And put up 38 points, showing everybody why he's the MVP. You keep asking for a guy, you keep pushing a guy, and you wonder, like, when is he going to show up? If you keep calling for him, I'm pretty sure he's going to come to you. So you end up, everybody end up getting what they want so they can't stop talking about these guys. But I never understand why people still hating on the Warriors, Cause like it's a constant, something different about the war. If it's not the old head, it's the people playing in the NBA. I thought the people hated the Clippers the worst, but no, they end up hating the war. Everybody telling, well, we could have beat the Warriors if we would have played them, or we would have did this if we would have played. I'm like, Jesus Christ, the fourth one. Yeah, but I don't know what this the people are supposed to do, what the Warriors are supposed to do. They break, you get an MVP. He make 400 threes in a season, shattering the other record of 200 and something. He led the league in steals. He led the league in guards percentage in the paint. So he wasn't just shooting the ball, and you still hate on the man regardless. And it feel more like that LeBron James hate when he didn't show up in the Cavs, when he was the MVP and wasn't showing up against the Mavericks, and then was struggling at first in front of that same year he went and dropped 45 on the Celtics, and people still hated him after he won the rings and said he should have won it in Cleveland, just bringing up something to just argue about. It's always something that's holding people back, but I guess people gonna hate just because they want to hate. So I don't know what else to actually pull from that. And I just really feel like people should just show the Warriors a little bit more respect for them just being good and just not. People just, I don't get it. I really don't. But I'm surprised. I want to see how Tyronn Lue is going to come out next game, because it's going to be interesting to me. Does he stick with the Richard Jefferson lineup and see how this still works? I feel like he should stick with the Richard Jefferson lineup, but play Kevin Love a little more, per se, off the bench with the bench. And stop running LeBron James down, because I feel like the tired he gets, that's the more he passes. So I feel like you just need to get him more rare rested as you can, so he can actually just go in and actually do something, point wise, other than trying to pass to the guys who round up missing, just missing shots everywhere. So, take that idea. But I know Michael Wilbon from ESPN, he came out and said this is the most selfish basketball he ever seen in his life, which for me, it kind of was. It's like LeBron and Kyrie came down the court, and then they did what they had to, then they tried to score. And that is not going to be it, because now the Warriors are one win away. Now, what did this say about LeBron's legacy? If Kerr ties him in rings and two MVPs down, which he might get it next year, can't see too many people just surpassing him. Not the way he's shooting the basketball right now, and the way he's putting, pressure on people to actually try to stop him, so he gets everybody else open. So I don't see them probably even losing a lot next year. They might be the number one seed next year also if they keep their team intact, which everybody on the team said they come back anyway. So you take that as it may. But a couple other things I want to talk about. OJ Simpson Made in America, the 30 for 30. I am waiting to see that. Everybody keeps talking about it, so I know I'm going to try to tune into that. I probably talk about that in one of the videos, on one of the podcasts or video past old days. Not too much left more in sports. Keith Lee got shot in his leg. That's kind of crazy. They say he was in self defense, but I don't actually believe it. I believe somebody just really out to kill him and trying to kill his career. But they say they gave him a warning early on in his career about guns and not having, having guns around him. So they said he need to get the guns when he still want to party in the club or whatever. So, I don't understand that. Andrew Bynum shows up to the NBA Finals with blonde hair, barely fitting in the seats. I don't know what happened to his career. I don't know where his money gone, but that's just horrible. Steph Curry's shoes are catching a lot of, backlash, because they look like more like dad shoes and having everybody, every time somebody sees them, they get this. That's basically how it gets bad, with everybody laughing at your new shoes. Sorry for Steph Curry. Muhammad Ali had a great, I don't know what they call it in the Muslim community, but I call it a funeral. A nice funeral that he had. A lot of people came out and spoke for him. I know my favorite speaker about it was Billy Crystal. Billy Crystal and his wife Lonnie, they gave a lot of great points and a lot of things about his legacy and what they wanted to combat with that, and all those basic things that you say, but it's different when it's coming from somebody who knows Ali and wants other people to be successful in life or whatever, and wants another person to be like Ali and lead the people. Next, that Gordie Howe dies. Mr. Hockey, you know, played it over 5 decades, 20-some NHL seasons or whatever, the number two all-time in points. And if his name Mr. Hockey, he was probably basically the greatest hockey player ever, but he died at the age of 88. Said 88 is a long time, so understandable that somebody has to go, but, you know, you never want to see them go, per se. So rest in peace, rest ease, our condolences out to his family, from the Speedhawks to the Howe family. Hope they take that very lightly. Basically, this round is all about it. I can't think of anything in the world of sports. This is my very first podcast, so, you know, I just try to cover this, touch the bases. But that's pretty much it. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at Speedhawks TV. The Speed and the Hawks are combined. Check out our Twitter page. Follow us on Twitter and say you read, and just, you know, tweet us and say you watched our podcast at Speedhawks TV. You can follow us on Facebook at Speedhawks TV. You know, check out our blog page at our website at Speedhawks. SpeedhawkTV.wordpress.com. Tune in to these podcasts, you know, daily. I'm going to try to put them up every day around this time or whatever. But I think that's about it. Subscribe to the YouTube. Follow us on Twitter. If you have any questions, you know, comment us on Twitter about what you heard. What did you hear in the podcast, or how you feel about a certain subject. And I promise we'll get back to you. We got so many people over the Twitter page that we can answer everybody's question. But my name is Dede, and I'm for Speedhawks TV. And since you tune in, give you guys another round of applause. But I'm out.